All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And we've gone through this series of cloud of witnesses and coming to a close here. I think we might finish today. But we're just take it as it comes. All right. And what shall I more say, for the time will fail me to tell of the prophets. And so that's Hebrews 11:32. We covered Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel, and now just generally the prophets. And so, please stand with me as we, if you're able to, stand with me as we read Hebrews 11, verses 32 through verse 40. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of this holy word. Please remain standing for prayer. Dear God, we thank thee for this word. We recognize all through the ages how people have suffered for thy cause. And we, being thy servants, how would we think that we would be under less persecution than thee, our Master, Lord? And yet, not only our Master, but our friend. And you do care for us, and you've been so gracious to us. And I pray, dear God, that we would not squander what freedoms and liberties we've had. We pray that thou would help us to be a good testimony, that we would live righteous lives, that you could use us for thy service. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, please be seated. And so, not a Mother's Day message, but we do honor our mothers. And it was a good point that Brother Arlen brings out about Timothy had a good mother and a good grandmother. And we see Proverbs chapter 31, good example of a godly woman. And but just recently, Mother and I, going through the scriptures, daily reading, read such a sorrowful thing about mothers. Even when Judah was taken into captivity as a judgment for them, having gone into idolatry and being not serving God as they should, and God caused them to go into bondage, into Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. And so even at that time, when God told them, now you go in willingly, And you go in and you build houses and you have children and you live. And this is your judgment. Don't fight against it. Because if you fight against it and if you don't go into your judgment, then you'll die from pestilence and by famine, by sword. And so very good that they went in to face their licking, so to speak. God was chastening them. And so they went, many of them went in willingly as they were told to. But there is coming a time when there will be a great tribulation against the nation of Israel. And we just read about that in Luke chapter 24. And this is not our message for the day, but just bringing it out of just my heart goes out to mothers. Right now we think of mothers in war-torn countries. And we've had war in so many countries. Now, of course, the one now in Ukraine kind of hits home because that's where my roots are. Luke 23, I said 24, but Luke 23, verse 28, it says, Jesus turning unto them. Now, this is when they were leading Jesus with his cross to be crucified, and they had laid the cross upon Simon the Cyrenian. There followed Jesus a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs which never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say in the mountain, to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And so we did cover some of that when we went through Revelation. And terrible time coming for the nation of Israel. The tribulation period is a great judgment against them for not acknowledging their Messiah. And so not only is a great tribulation coming for Israel, but a great restoration, a remnant will recognize Christ as Messiah. And it's a tremendous promise that's yet to come. And yet, hardship for mothers, you can imagine, in a war-torn situation, trying to care for their children, and the fathers have gone off to war. And a great burden on women. Let's just keep them in our prayers. And we are just so thankful for mothers that care for their children. And it just makes you want to weep for those that are in very difficult circumstances. And but now here in Hebrews chapter 11 and carrying on, we, you know, just a couple of commentaries mentioned. I asked this of you if any of you wondered why did the Holy Spirit direct the apostle to write that, put the order, all the order in the previous verses were correct, chronological, but then come to verse 32, Gideon is mentioned before Barak, and that's chronologically, it's actually Barak before Gideon. And then Samson is mentioned before Jephthah, and chronologically, it's actually Jephthah that's before Samson. And then here, David is mentioned before Samuel, whereas actually Samuel came first in the story, and then later David was anointed by Samuel. And so a couple of commentaries point out that, well, the Gideon is more notable than Barak and Samson, more notable than Jephthah and David, more notable than Samuel. So maybe that was the order, but certainly mixed up the order to perhaps tell us that maybe the order is not that important. Going into the next verses, speaking of so many others who faced great trials and tribulations and yet were people of great faith and had a testimony of a great God, God Jehovah, who is the pre-incarnate Christ of the Old Testament. And then here the apostle is also telling of many others during this time of his writing of people suffering great tribulation and persecution. So we find in these next few verses, verses 32 through 40, 3 points, things done by faith, things endured by faith, and things obtained by faith. And so these first three verses here, things done by faith. And so we see verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. And we have gone over a number of folks, reading of David and of Joshua, leading the people of children of Israel to subdue kingdoms. And the judges, the period of the judges, where Israel, remember the cycle of them falling away from God, and then God bringing persecution to them by their enemies, and then they call out to God, and then God brings a judge or a redeemer, and they come back to God, and he gives them. Often we've read many times where there was rest in the land for 40 years. And so sometimes they were under great persecution, yet it's wonderful to see these illustrations. These judges were illustrations of that judge that would come, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be the deliverer and the ultimate deliverer, and would bring rest. And so too we think of the first day of the week. We celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is the rest, a rest for those who put their trust and faith in him. He is the fulfillment. He fulfilled all the law, and that includes the fourth commandment. The Sabbath, Jesus Christ is the Sabbath rest for all who believe in him. And so we don't have a Sabbath day, although that still is Saturday, but Sunday is the Lord's Day, where we celebrate the fact that we can cease from the works of the law and rest completely in the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. There is no righteousness that a person will have to get to heaven apart from that righteousness of Christ, the white robe that is blood bought by the blood of Christ. And so, yes, these people of faith, they subdued kingdoms on behalf of the Lord God. And then they wrought righteousness. And we see that many times. They wrought righteousness. Remember Gideon? His father gave him the alternate name there of Jerubbaal, because the people wanted... the priests of Baal were telling Gideon's father to surrender him to them because he had broken down the idols of Baal, the altars of Baal. And Gideon's father says to them, "Will you plead for Baal?" Now it says in Judges 6, verse 30, Then the man of the city said to Joash, that's Gideon's father, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because he hath cast down this altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him, that's Gideon, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. And so, a nickname given to Gideon for that wonderful thing that he broke down the altar of Baal, the false god. And so, yes, people of faith have been known to execute righteousness. And in this case, he cast down those idols and altars of a false god. And so we see too in during the time of the first century church, a wonderful testimony of the Thessalonians. Their testimony was well known to those in Macedonia and to Achaia, and that 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9 says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And so we find that things done by faith, subduing kingdoms and exercising righteousness, they wrought righteousness, and they obtained promises. They were given many promises of victory, and when we were reading in the Judges of how God would promise them victory, think of Barak. He was promised a victory, and yet he lacked faith, and he said, well, I won't go unless you go. He's talking to Deborah, and she was an encouragement to him, and yet because of it, God said, well, the victory, the reward will go to a woman of the victory. And so that's what happened. That was that woman that that pounded that stake through the side of the head of Sisera, tent peg, right through his head, right into the ground. And so the victory was acclaimed to this woman. Barak, even though given the promise of victory, he still lacked some faith, and yet God considers him to be a man of faith here, in because it's not about the man or woman of faith, it's about the God who they were trusting in. So it's the object of their faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah, the Old Testament, and the New, through we see him in his incarnation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions. Of course, the first person we think of is that angel that was sent to stop the mouths of the lions for who? The angel was sent to stop the mouths of the lions for who was in the lion's den? Remember?
Daniel.
Daniel, yes. Daniel was in the lion's den. And God sent them, the angel, to stop the mouths of lions. And because he trusted in God, and so too did Samson. Remember Samson, even though many times he did wrong, yet there were times when God used him And here with his bare hands, he in Judges 14, a very strong young fellow. His mother gave him the name Samson, which meant sunshine or sunlight. And so here he was, Judges 14, verse 5 and 6. And then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Now, he was not supposed to be touching a dead animal, and here he had rent this animal with his bare hands, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now, the thing is that he had touched that animal later when it was dead, after it was dead, to scoop up some honey out of that dead lion. And so we know the rest of that story became a riddle. But Samson killed the lion with his bare hands and under the Spirit of God. And then David, if 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Some of you hunters, you ever think if you had to, and you grabbed that grizzly by the beard? Some say that the best way to catch them is to put salt under their tail. Anyway, grab them by the beard. Oh my. So here's David. He's telling King Saul, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, he's talking about Goliath, shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And so David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And so, yes, it's not his faith as much as it's the object of his faith, and it was the Lord. The Lord was there to spare him from the lion and from the bear, and he was also there to spare him from the hand of Goliath. And so things that are done by faith, subduing kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, Quenched the violence of fire. Moses, look at what he did in Numbers 11. Numbers chapter 11. Such a short passage. And yet, 11 verses 1 through 3. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. You can see this fire coming in, coming in from the outside of the camp, coming in. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Oh boy. Short, just a few verses there, but often there's a short passage that speaks volumes. They quenched the violence of fire. Moses, by prayer of faith, quenched that fire of God's wrath against Israel. Who else can we think of in a fiery furnace? Think of somebody else in a fiery furnace that God was able to spare. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And so starting at verse 17. And so here they are. They would not bow down to the image, Nebuchadnezzar's image that he had set up. They wouldn't bow down, but in verse 17 they say, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." Verse 18, "But if not," listen to what they're saying. They're saying, "If not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the fire exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you imagine? The people that were throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, they themselves died from that fire. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Wow. Jesus was with them. Jehovah was with them in that fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and kings, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. I heated up some barbecue pork ribs in the microwave last night. And this morning when I heated up the bran muffins, I could smell the barbecue sauce. Here they were in the fiery furnace, and not a hair of their head was singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire passed on them. Quite amazing. God is amazing. They have so things done by faith, subdued kings, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. David escaped the sword of Goliath and of Saul. Remember, Saul threw his javelin at least twice to try and kill David. Then he even tried to kill his own son, threw a javelin at him. And Saul had his soldiers to go out and try and kill David. And God spared David. God spared David from Goliath. David himself took Goliath's sword and cut off Goliath's head with Goliath's own sword. And then there was Mordecai and the Jews. Mordecai and the Jews, they escaped the sword of Haman. Haman was given authority to go and kill all the Jews of the land. And yet God was able to spare them. They escaped the edge of the sword. And out of weakness, they were made strong. Israel, many times, such a weak nation, marching around Jericho. How weak can you get that that's your strategy? Well, that's the strategy of God. So it's not how much your faith, and in faith they did, they obeyed, and the object of their faith came through. And Hezekiah, he was weak, and yet he was, God gave him more years, 15 more years in his life. And then the scripture tells us that, what are some of the other things done in faith, by faith? Valiant in fight. Joshua, valiant in fight. The judges, valiant in fight. David, valiant in fight. And they put to flight the armies of the aliens. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Remember the widow of Zarephath? 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17. The widow of Zarephath. Verse 22, 1 Kings 17, 22. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." And so God allowed for this woman who by faith had prepared a cake for Elijah, even though she had nothing. She said, "I'm just gathering a few sticks. I'm just going to have this handful full of meal for my son and myself, and then we're going to die." And Elijah said, "No, your meal and your oil is going to last. Don't worry about it, but you bring a cake to me first," which she did by faith. Amen. Tremendous. And then she was troubled because now her son is dead. And yet when she brought the concern to Elijah, the Lord was able, women received their dead raised to life again. And that was one woman. And so now she was, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." And so too, 2 Kings chapter 4, we remember the woman of, or the Shunammite woman of Shunem, Shunammite. In 2 Kings 4, 32 through 37, "And Elisha was come into the house, and behold, the child was dead." That's when he had gone out, that child had gone out to the harvest, and he was saying to his dad, "My head, my head." And they carried him to his mother. The boy died in her, while he sat on her knees. He died, and so then she went to, remember she had gone to Elijah, or pardon me, to Elisha. This is Elisha now. she said, and Elisha had sent out his servant and said, run now, I pray thee. That's verse 26. Run now to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. I think that's tremendous. She's coming to Elisha to let him know that her son has died at her knees. And when asked, is it well? I don't think she did it like, you know, when you go to the doctor and he says, how are you doing? You say, well, I'm well, thank you. And of course, you don't mean it. You're not doing that by faith. That's just an automatic. I don't think this was automatic for her because he was very specific. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? And is it well with the child? If there was a time to say it's not well with the child, that would be it. But by faith, she was expecting something different. When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. That's verse 32 and then 33. And he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon the twain and prayed them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked into the house to and fro. And he went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. And so women received their dead raised to life again. The woman, or the widow of Nain, that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, just by touching the bier, the coffin, Luke chapter 7, verse 12. Verse 11, it came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Verse 12, and when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, weep not. And he came and he touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, that God hath visited his people. And so, things done by faith. God seeing their faith. Not them being mighty, but God through them being mighty. And God showing himself, proving himself, and they being witnesses of it. What a great cloud of witnesses. Things done by faith. And things endured by faith. The second part of verse 35, Hebrews 11, verse 35. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. Think of Zechariah. Zechariah, 2 Chronicles 24, 21. 2 Chronicles 24. Verse 20, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest which stood above the prophets and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord and hath also... you've been forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Verse 21, And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. And so Zechariah was stoned to death for his testimony. And who else do we know was stoned to death? Many others. And who do we think of? Stephen. Stephen gave such a good message. He preached such a good message. And yet the people, they... Acts 7:57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying... So Stephen was calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And so he was stoned, and they that stoned him laid down their coats at the feet of Saul of Tarsus, who was agreeing to what they were doing. And then later, when Saul of Tarsus got saved, his name was changed to Paul, he himself ended up getting stoned and left for dead. But then he got up. People were standing around. The believers were standing around watching. Did he rise from the dead? We don't know. But they had given him up for dead. And he walked into the city. And so, yes, all these imprisonments, and we know Paul and Silas in prison and others, Peter in prison and God freeing him from prison. Sawn asunder, according to tradition, Jewish tradition says that Manasseh had sawn Isaiah asunder. They lived in caves. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And so... there they were, many folks in the past and even to this day, suffering greatly, enduring great things by faith. So we've seen things done by faith. We've seen things endured by faith. And we'll want to take a look at things obtained by faith. But we'll leave that till next time.
Amen.
Then you'll know the rest of the story. Things obtained by faith. And so they these all having obtained a good report through faith received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And so what a testimony of God's greatness has been this cloud of witnesses in chapter 11. Just thank God for this very short passage of scripture that's so full. It's just like taking us for a summary of the Old Testament and New alike. And so may God bless us as we continue to ponder God's word and recognize that he has something for each of us. There's a place for me. There's a place for you. And, you know, it's not your might nor your power, but by God's Spirit. And if you are a willing vessel, wonderful, tremendous to think of what God can do with you, through you and for you, because certainly that is a blessing to be used of God. All right, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank thee for thy goodness and for the testimony of all these that have gone before and a witness to thy greatness, how great thou art. And we just pray that thou would help us to depend on thee in every circumstance, understanding that it was by the blood of Christ that was shed on our behalf that we can only by that can we be righteous, and we can walk in thy way, and that we can be led by thy Holy Spirit, because Christ in us, the hope of glory. We look forward to thy soon return. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.